Hello, and welcome to Bostonian Rap. My name is Rachel Meiselman. You are listening to me on WBCA LP 102.9 FM Boston. This is Boston's community radio station. Before we jump into tonight's show, we're going to go to a quick disclaimer, and then we're going to come back and talk about the various issues of the day.
The following commentary does not necessarily reflect the views of the staff and management of WBCA or the Boston Neighborhood Network. If you would like to express another opinion, you can address your comments to Boston Neighborhood Network, 3025 Washington Street, Boston, Massachusetts, 02119. To arrange a time for your own commentary, you can call WBCA at 617-708-3215 or email radio at bnnmedia.org.
Hello, and welcome back to Bostonian Rap. Again, my name is Rachel Meiselman, and I am listening to you on you're listening to me, long week, on WBCA LP 102.9 FM Boston. So, as promised, we're just going to jump right on into tonight's show. We're going to talk about the issues of today. Of the day, of the week, I would say of the year. So we'll start by talking about anti-Semitism. And it's really pretty incredible because, as someone so aptly said, it's really one of the few hatreds that has been allowed to freely flourish. And in some instances, even encouraged. I can't think of too many other forms of hatred where you can express it without remorse and without fear of repercussions. And so some people listening to me might poo-poo that. And sure, there has been some fallouts for different people, even some high-profile people. But given the amount of anti-Semitism that has been expressed historically versus the number of people who have expressed it, who have been the purveyors of this particular form of hatred, the number of those people that have been actually held accountable for their vile attitudes and animus toward my people, it's just, I would say that the numbers aren't too high. And particularly since October 7th. October 7th has just really been almost like a free-for-all. And I, you know, it hasn't been easy, but I think that for me, I do appreciate the candor, if I can even phrase it like that, with which I'm being met, that I'm witnessing people advocating, lots of air quotes there, for Hamas. But they're claiming this is for the Palestinian people. If someone actually knows about Gaza, that individual is going to know that Hamas are vicious. Hamas leaders do not care. The members of this movement do not care about the Palestinians. It's a movement, but it's the governmental authority. You know, the members do not care about the Palestinians there. They don't care about Palestinians anywhere. They don't care about the growth of Gaza. They don't care about the education, the fulfillment, the personal and professional fulfillment of the people. They just care about themselves, and they're married to a radical extremist genocidal agenda. And that people could defend such a movement, that they could defend members of this movement, I find that alarming. I find that highly disturbing. And so many of these people have, for so long, have claimed the moral high ground. And you have to say to yourself, really? For so long, so many people, even some of the biggest mouths on the political right, not me, but so many people on the political right have allowed themselves to be lectured to by the same people now who are parroting the propaganda of Hamas, who are defending absolutely horrific crimes against humanity. We're talking about the brutal rape of women. We're talking about torturing people. We're talking about killing people cold-bloodedly and then further defiling their bodies. We're talking about burning of bodies, even burning of people, burning people alive, even babies. And it's just, there always seems to be the excuse, the justification being, well, the Palestinians are oppressed and they should be free. And the same people who are expressing, you know, always, it's just the same people here. We're going to talk about this one particular group, and we'll talk about other groups in a bit, but I want to stay for a bit on this particular group that, yes, has lectured everyone else about what to say and what to do, and have perfected, these people have perfected the sanctimonious wagging of their fingers at everyone else. These people would never overlook or deny or try to justify, explain away such horrific crimes if they were being carried out against any other people but the Jews. This isn't about being anti-Israel. This isn't about being anti-Zionist. This is about being anti-Jewish. This is about anti-Semitism. That's what this is. And some of it is derived from this idea that Jews are all white and that they're all privileged and that white people in general, but particularly the Jews, are inherently racist. They're inherently oppressive people that would cruelly stomp out other peoples and other cultures and other ethnicities. So you have that group, and then you have people who just hate Jewish people. And it's just, I think that we all have gifts. And one of my gifts, I think we all have gifts, and I think most of us have several gifts. And one of my gifts is that I see things for what they are. I know what I would like them to be. And in various situations, I try my best to work to achieve these situations that, for me, are closer to the ideal. But even in those situations where I'm working to achieve something better, I never lose sight of what is actually in front of me. I see things for what they are. And I can also think critically. It doesn't bother me to look at somebody on my side of the aisle and criticize them. I'm not someone who wants to play the role of the contrarian and, oh, well, this person is in my ideological camp, my political slash ideological camp. So to appear somehow intellectual, to convey the extent to which I can think critically, I'm going to pick apart and unpack what's going on with other people on my side of the aisle in my camp. No, I'm not. I think that's just, people who engage in that behavior, I just find them absurd. There is someone who does that, and his name is Ed Lyons, and some people in Massachusetts politics know who he is. I believe he's a Republican. I believe he's still a Republican. He is a really big supporter of Charlie Baker. And his niche, his thing, his angle is criticizing Republicans. And I suppose he does have a word or two to say about outrageous behavior on the political left, but most of his firepower is reserved for fellow Republicans or people who lean right, who are on the political right, that engage in outrageous behavior, whether they actually are or not. His idea about outrageous certainly doesn't always match mine. And I just find that whole shtick, because that's how I view it, it's tiresome. It gets old really fast, because it's one thing to think critically, and it's one thing to kind of look for that angle to kind of set yourself apart from others. You know, we have some people who they'll play the race card, or you'll have people who, that's a real big thing, right? On the left and right, we have people who might play the gender card. I mean, people, they look to be different, not because of some inherent gift, but just because they want to set themselves apart. They're actually garden variety, if you must ask. You know, what they have to say is actually, it's fairly pedestrian, but they think for some reason or another that they deserve special status. So they look for a way to differentiate themselves, an artificial way. And so for Ed, you know, like once in a blue moon, I might agree with him, but you know, again, for the most part, it gets old. So when I criticize someone, it's not because I'm trying to score points. It's not because I want to be seen as the good Republican. I mean, if people like what I have to say, that's great. If they don't like what I have to say, that's fine, too. I mean, just like I have a right to express myself, people have a right to disagree with what I have to say. So it's all good. But certainly, I have the ability, I like to think anyway, that I have the ability to think critically. And that means that I'm not always going to agree with someone just because they're in my political camp. And I think that that is what has held me back to a large extent, because if I were to always and only criticize people on the political left, like this group that I want to focus on like at least right now in this part of the show, people would be fine with that. They would be, oh, that's great, that's awesome. But when I say, well, not so fast, and I'm saying it in regard to someone on the political right, a lot of people don't necessarily like that. So, I mean, back to this group, they've been lecturing us about what to say, what not to say. And they have really, for the longest time, or they had really for the longest time, really kind of designated themselves as moral arbiters in their respective communities. And a lot of people just took it. And I've been criticizing them for a long time. I have been. And so the people who are criticizing them now, some of them, I don't really want to listen to them. I don't really want to hear it, because people do what they can get away with. They always do. Whether it's a professional or personal situation, most people do what they can get away with. And I think that a lot of people in this camp, because for so long no one really challenged them, they got bolder and more aggressive and more brazen. And this is where we are today. And, you know, we see a lot of these people. They are on the college campuses. They are members of the faculty. Or they might be artists who support them. Or they might be other public figures or politicians that support them. And it's sad. But I think that something could have been done before now to, I'm not saying prevent the reaction, to prevent the events that we've seen. Because another thing I kind of want to get out there, and I want this to be a takeaway for tonight's show, this is really less about the Palestinian people. This is more about anti-Semitism. This is all about asserting control, demanding power, seeking capitulation. It's about pushing for a new way of operating, for a new way of moving, world order. But, you know, for purposes, you know, talking about what's happening, these protests, particularly on college campuses, it's a new way of doing things. And, you know, whoever's the loudest and whoever gets in your face and who's the biggest and the baddest and the scariest gets what he or she wants. And that's what this is clearly about. It's just like when we saw a number of riots that came in the aftermath of, and it was a tragedy, George Floyd dying. Was he an angel? No. But he had family. There were people that loved him. Was the police officer that was sent to jail, was he a horrible, rotten person, irredeemable, wicked, evil? No. It was very much a tragedy all around. And it was very much areas of gray. But the point that I want to make here is that after a certain point, those riots were not about George Floyd. It was a movement. And we're seeing that movement again with these protests that are supposedly for the Palestinians. And when we think about, again, the group that I'm focusing on for this part of the show that is behind this, whether it's the protest in public or, you know, specifically, you know, if we talk very particularly, like what's happening on the college campuses, or it could be just someone who supports these protests, wherever they take place, these people are no longer seen as the good guys. They're no longer seen as people who have any business or place telling others what to do. In fact, they're now seen as people who really are contributing heavily, greatly to the decline of this great nation, who have contributed to the decline of this great nation. And make no mistake, we are in a decline. We are, in a number of respects. We very much are. So we have this group, and you know, the younger members of this group, they're now, well, I mean, they're, you have some members of faculty who are older, and they're joining them. The campuses, the college campuses, and of course, Benjamin Netanyahu, he spoke about the vicious, particularly vicious and alarming level of anti-Semitism that is being seen in the United States, and that is playing out on college campuses throughout the nation. And, you know, he drew parallels with 1930s Germany, and I see the parallels. They're absolutely there. These people are trying to intimidate Jewish people and their allies. The idea is to scare the allies off and to isolate the Jews. The idea is to make the Jews, make us, make me and my brothers and sisters, make my brothers and sisters and me fear for our safety. It's to make us smaller. It's to make us less present. It's to take away the good that we've done. And it's to take away our pride. And it's to take away our ability to define ourselves. These are efforts to define us for us. And the way that they're trying to define us is absolutely horrible. It's absolutely horrific. And the people who are just able now to call this side of the political, this part of the political spectrum out, I don't have much use for them, even if they're hitting on all the right points, because as I started to say earlier, even if they had condemned anti-Semitism, regardless of the provenance, we still could have been met with this on some scale. But I don't think people would have been as vocal and as brazen and as antagonistic and as in your face. I mean, people are ready to fight. People want to hurt other people. People want to hurt my people. Like I said, people do what they're allowed to do. people are going to do what they can get away with. They're going to push boundaries. They're going to test boundaries. And if they see that they can get away with something, they're going to keep on pushing and push and push and push. I would say right now we're going to see who the men are and who the boys are. It's going to separate the men from the boys. Let's see how people are going to react. Let's see who's going to stand up. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm in no way saying that, you know, because I can well imagine there are some Jews on the political left or left of me. And they would say something like, well, what are you trying to say? Are you trying to say that we're responsible for the horror stories that we see playing out on college campuses across the nation? No. What I'm saying is that the extent of what we're seeing, I do think it could have been lessened had more people in general, and certainly more Jewish leaders, had they been willing to criticize anti-Semitism. Again, regardless of the origin, regardless of the provenance, what we've consistently seen is an attack on the right. And don't get me wrong, I have, as I said, I have no problem talking about ignorance and bigotry and just any kind of vile behavior, you name it, on the political right, which doesn't always make me very popular, and that's fine. That's absolutely fine. But I think that if your role is with a Jewish organization, I think you do have a responsibility to be what now is being called swivel-headed. And that is, it doesn't matter where the anti-Semitism's coming from, where it comes from, wherever it comes from, it has to be called out. There can't be any kind of equivocation. There can't be any kind of waffling. It has to be called out. Another thing that I think that has made it so tough now, even with all the efforts that are being put into calling out anti-Semitism, wherever it comes from, whatever part of the political spectrum it's coming from, I think that what had so long been done is, well, we're against anti-Semitism and Islamophobia and racism against blacks, and stop. Just stop. It should be, if you have a problem with anti-Semitism, then it's anti-Semitism. That's it. Don't roll it into all these other isms. And I think in doing that, that was a way to diminish the ugliness, the wickedness that is anti-Semitism. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to go to a quick break. And when I come back, I'm going to talk about anti-Semitism and other parts of the political spectrum.
I'm Scarlett Johansson. My family relied on public assistance to help provide meals for us. These meals fueled my involvement in theater and the arts as a child, which fostered my love for acting. The Feeding America network of food banks helps millions of people put food on the table. You can join the movement to end hunger by donating, volunteering, and advocating. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
If you are struggling to afford internet service for your household, there's a new government program that may be able to help. It's called the Affordable Connectivity Program, and it provides up to a $30 monthly discount to qualifying households. Find more information about the program, including if you qualify and how to enroll, at fcc.gov/ACP or call toll-free at 877-384-2575. That's 877-384-2575.
Are our love bugs and companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life better. When we face unexpected challenges, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people and their pets. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hey, everything okay?
Yes, I'm fine.
Honey. Hey, I'm here for you. Tell me about school today.
When kids can't find the right words, music can help them sound it out. Talk to the kids in your life about their emotional well-being. Find tools and resources at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Hello, and welcome back to Bostonian Rap. My name is Rachel Meiselman. You're listening to me on WBCA LP 102.9 FM Boston. Now, we've been talking about anti-Semitism. It's a very big topic. And if you're just tuning in, thank you so much. If you've been with me from the beginning, from the top of the show, thank you so much. It is a big topic because it's one that has always been around. It's always been there. But the extent to which it has been expressed and the ways in which people have been expressing it, that's what's different. That's what's alarming. That's what's scary. And these mobs, because that's what they are, these are not protests. What we see in the streets, what we're seeing on college campuses, these are not protests. This is not freedom of speech. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is a disgrace. She is absolutely ugly to the bone. She is just horrific. Ilhan Omar, again, this is not freedom of speech. These two women are vile anti-Semites. We are looking at mobs. And what people say and do in mobs, we've seen at different points in history, certainly during World War II, certainly during the Holocaust. We have seen profoundly wicked behavior. We've seen profoundly disturbing behavior. That's what we're seeing now. And so I wanted to start with one particular part of the political spectrum. And anyone who wants to say, well, this has nothing to do with politics, knock it off. Yes, it does. It does. It's both social and political. It's a socio-political movement, and it's a scary one. But I wanted to talk about this particular part of the political spectrum, because what's coming out of this area, right, this faction of the political arena, from the political world or from American politics, that is what is being shown around the world. And that is what's given people cause for alarm. Now, I mentioned earlier in the show my ability to, one of my gifts, some people might not consider it a gift, and it certainly, like I said, doesn't necessarily make me popular with a lot of people or some people, but being able to think critically. And so that enables me, that has enabled me to call out people on my side of the aisle. And let's talk about them. Because there is anti-Semitism that is coming from the political right. There is. But it's, how shall I frame it? It's kind of odd because some of it is tied in with white supremacy. And I almost hate to use that phrase because it's been almost stripped from meaning by people like Ayanna Pressley and the rest of her ideological brethren, her ideological ilk. But it's tied in with that. But we have people who have embraced Nazism, and they think it's cool. And it's almost like, I'm a Nazi. There's nothing you can say that's going to make me cower. There's nothing that you can say that will bother me. I'm the biggest, baddest person out there. And it's a joke because most of these people are doing it. The ones that engage in this online activity, they're doing it and they don't use their real names. And for the few people who do use their real names, they're doing it really to get attention. And we'll get to an example of that in just a bit. But most of these people, they hide their identities. Or they only can get really loud if they know they have support. So they do need the backup, right? Which is something they actually have in common with the people on the political left who have been engaging in all these different protests, whether in, on the streets or on college campuses. But what I would say about the political right is that there are some people, it's actually kind of odd. In fact, you could do a whole dissertation. You could write volumes, actually, on how anti-Semitism on the left and right intersect, how the animus on both sides, how it overlaps, and where it diverges. This idea about, you know, Nazism and this adoration of Hitler, and you'll find some people on the right cheering on people on the left who are engaging in this scary, alarming behavior. But there's this ignorance, and I guess this is where the similarities kick in, right? Because on both sides, you know, a lot of times they might cover their faces, they might try to hide their identities. They only get loud when they have backup, when they're in a group, or if they find themselves face to face with someone that they think is not going to fight back. They also seem to have a poor understanding of history, of geography, and of what's actually going on. And so with the people on the left, some of them, most of them, it's, can you even locate Israel on the map? You probably can't. What about Gaza? Have you ever even been to that part of the world? No, seriously. A lot of these people, the closest they've ever come to going to the Middle East is getting a falafel sandwich somewhere, you know, in Boston or Cambridge or, you know, some other municipality that, you know, serves Middle Eastern food. And you know, there are a fair amount throughout the Commonwealth, you know, in different places in the Commonwealth. But, you know, it's just, it's ridiculous. You know, oh, you had a falafel sandwich last week. Okay, well, I guess you're an expert on the Middle East then. It's just, it's pathetic. You know, in fact, it's funny, there's a woman on the political left, and she's just, boy, she really thinks she knows everything. So her name is, she's here in Boston. Her name is Vicky DiLorenzo. And she was cheering on what's going on in Harvard. It's like, lady, please have a seat. Just have a seat and please shut up. I doubt she has any ties to Harvard. She doesn't have any ties to the Jewish community. Doubt she's ever been to Israel. A lot of these people, they don't even comment on that part of the world until Israel is fighting one of its enemies. And then all of a sudden they comment. Other than that, they have nothing to say about the Palestinians. It's sickening. She ended up blocking me within 5 minutes because I called her out. It's, you're advocating for violence against my people. These protesters are parroting Hamas propaganda. Hamas wants to kill not just Israelis, Israeli Jews, or anyone else in Israel they can, you know, kill. That's fine with them too. But their target is the Jewish people. And Hamas leaders have been very upfront about that. So it's astounding to me that people somehow try to defend Hamas. Hamas has been very clear. They want to kill Jewish people everywhere, wherever they may be. So what is the problem? What are we not getting? And how could someone cheer on what's going on these campuses when they're parroting, when they're repeating Hamas propaganda? Incredible. But people on the political right who are anti-Semitic, you know, a lot of them, you know, what's the term, groypers, you know, whatever. It's, these people are clowns too. They're filthy, nasty clowns. And so they're Nazis. Let me tell you a little something. If this were 1930s Germany, oh boy, have mercy on all our souls, okay? Because all these people who are talking about, I love Hitler, and it was Hitler's birthday the other day, and da-da-da. Let me tell you a little something. A lot of these people would probably not be considered acceptable in Nazi eyes. There's a girl who wanted to try to have a go at me on X. And I had to laugh to myself because she, you know, swims with the Nazi, you know, like, she, you know, she swims in, you know, in the cesspool, and she, I guess, would probably, I don't know if she uses the term Nazi, but she certainly, the terminology, the idea, she certainly has embraced them about Jewish people. And it's kind of weird because it's this idea, you know, Christ is king. And it's like, okay, that's fine. That's your belief. Well, it bothers you because Jews don't like Christians. Well, I certainly don't have any problems with Christians. I've had friends my whole life of different faiths, and they are my friends. I look at them as people. No, you don't like, you know, I'm Christian, and that bothers you. No, what bothers me is that you're a jerk. It's as simple as that. But she wanted to, like, she thought I was really going to get all, you know, my feathers wouldn't get ruffled. I was going to get all riled up, you know, by her saying, you know, Christ is king. You know, if you really are dedicated to Jesus Christ, that is your business. That is your choice. God bless. Be happy, be fulfilled. But these people, you listen, you watch to see what they say and do, and it's nothing of what one would expect a Christian to be. It has nothing to do with Christianity. It's this extremist ideology, and it's a way to differentiate themselves from Jewish people. And, you know, this girl, again, you know, happened to be black. And I don't know how to break this to her, but the Nazis did not like black people. You know, a lot of people, oh, I love Hitler. They happen to be Catholic. Hitler did not like Catholic. I mean, you know, it's just pick up a history book, please. Christians did not fare too well under the Nazi regime. Catholics were not loved. you know, Catholics in particular, just Christians in general, but Catholics certainly weren't favored by the Nazi regime. So it's this whole idea that you know, Christ is king and, you know, just carrying on. I don't understand it, but that's because I know history. I know that if you were a person of faith, regardless of what that faith was, Christian or otherwise, living under the Nazi regime was a terrifying time. It was absolutely terrifying. You would have put your faith in Hitler, not God. You couldn't speak out. You couldn't have thoughts that were not in line with the government, with the Nazi regime. The things that Nazis did to people, the medical experiments, it's just the concentration camps. It was unbelievably brutal. And again, all these people who want to have so much to say about Christ as King, again, it blows my mind. Like, how could you be so ignorant? How could you talk about loving Hitler when Hitler probably would not have loved you? And there were different reasons why. It's these people who want to be able to say whatever they want. Again, I can't stress this enough. Under the Nazi regime, people could not say whatever they want. It truly, truly, truly was a terrifying time. But people don't know history. On the left, you have people defending Hamas. We have people on the right, too, defending Hamas. Hamas, they're brutal. They're animals. They're evil. They're genocidal terrorists. The Nazis were perverse. They were wicked. They were authoritarian. They were immensely cruel. And I don't understand all these people on both sides. I guess it's my Yiddish sense of humor. You know, I'm an Ashkenaz, nice Ashkenaz Jewish girl after all. It's Ashkenazi here. But it's this idea that, you know, if you're going to be an anti-Semite, at least be an informed anti-Semite, which is, you know, a paradox, because if you knew anything, if you were educated and evolved, how could you hate anybody, Jews or anybody else? But it's said in jest, because it's, you have people who are hating my people, and in doing it, they're parroting, they're regurgitating the beliefs, the words, the mantras of two groups that were horrible, that just really kind of showed, or it are showing, the very worst that mankind can be and has to offer. One of my, lots of air quotes here, favorite people on the political right who is anti-Semitic is a girl named Lori Kaufman. And she ran for the Massachusetts Republican State Committee. And the Massachusetts Republican Party has completely, and I salute them, have completely disavowed her, have roundly condemned her, find her views abhorrent, absolutely abhorrent, and have completely distanced themselves, wholly distanced themselves from her. She ran for state committee, did not win. Now she is running for state senate. Well, she'll get wiped out, which is good. She'll get creamed. Sorry, guys, I had to slip in another cough drop. Allergies are getting the better of me, so I apologize. But let me keep on going here. So Lori Kaufman, if some of you are thinking, well, that sounds Jewish, it's because she is Jewish. But she says that she's converted to Christianity, and she's one of these people who's talking about Christ is King, and she loves Hitler. Well, what Lori doesn't seemingly know is that a lot of people, including Nazis, you know, throughout history, who have been anti-Semitic, who have very much hated Jews, even if Jews have converted, and I mean, Lori, I wear a cross, I never take it off. Yeah, that doesn't make you Christian. You know what I mean? I don't know what she is. I don't know what she's converted to. But being a Christian has nothing to do with being hateful. Just like being a Muslim has nothing to do with being hateful, or being a Jew or a Hindu or a Buddhist. It's not about hate. Whether you follow a monotheistic religion or a polytheistic one, it's not about hate. So I don't know what she's converted to, but whatever. But what makes me laugh is that even if we were to take her on face value, like, oh, I converted to Christianity, a lot of people in history who've been very anti-Semitic, they've remained suspicious of Jews who've converted to Christianity. I could go on more, and I will next week, but that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to hanging out with you next week.
The preceding commentary does not necessarily reflect the views of the staff and management of WBCA or the Boston Neighborhood Network. If you would like to express another opinion, you can address your comments to Boston Neighborhood Network, 3025 Washington Street, Boston, Massachusetts, 02119. To arrange a time for your own commentary, you can call WBCA at 617-708-3215 or email radio@bnnmedia.org.